from our own lips. I did not come to invite virtuous people, but sinners. As you all know by now, surely, that I come from India. Any doubts? And one of the problems that we face in India, and still do, is of the caste system. Well, there are not four, really, but five castes. In the good old days, some thousands of years before our Lord was born, of course, there was the whole question of who will do what. In this church, each person has his own little work to do. And that's how caste system came into being. Somebody had to look after the faith, somebody had to look after the money, somebody had to defend the country, and somebody had to do the menial works. That's the four castes. That makes sense. In every society there is that kind, even in, perhaps in Switzerland, there is a caste system of that kind. Because of people's ability, or whatever it is, they do the job that they are fit to do. And there's a fifth caste in India also, which can't do anything but very, very menial jobs, like carting dead animals away, skins and all that, meaning the drawers. The problem with the caste system is that in India you can't move from one to the other. You are stuck in what you're going. Like me, I'm black, I will always be black. Never be pink. But you can still move according to ability and do different things. In the old days, even today in some societies and countries, there's that kind of caste system. The trouble in India was that you could not change. There was no movement possible, sideways, upstairs, down, or anything. You were stuck. You were stuck. You were stuck. It was stuck. And some of the problems were, of course, in the religion world. And the religious leaders, therefore, had an enormous stronghold because they liked their power. And they were not going to let go of it at any cost. Even the church of India has very far high up. Oh, my God, he just ran out. And so, we are told that religions therefore have the same kind of system also. In Jewish faith and in Hinduism, if you are born in the religious caste, so to speak, like a rabbi or a Brahmin, then you made a Brahmin. So it was a birthright to follow your father's path. And so that was the case. And you could not change. You could not change. And if you somehow do manage, you are ostracized by your own society and you're not welcome the other society. So you become a football. Take from both sides. We don't want to, you have become, I mean, one of the problems with racism is, now you know the word coconut? No? Have you heard of coconut?
Yeah.
You have? No? What coconut looks like from outside?
Oh,
I know what it is.
It's brown and hairy.
Inside is white.
Yeah.
So, that's like coconut. So, but some people who have sort of become westernized, I will be called perhaps in India, I have become a coconut. But my ways are so, and the size now. And but they say, oh, you've forgotten what your roots are. Okay. Remember the word coconut, the vanilla, that's easy. So that was the situation. How do we change? How do we bring about a change? In India, some Dalits and so forth, the only way they can change perhaps is because they become a Buddhist. and then you change the name, or they become Christians and you change the name. Four years ago, there was an enormous movement of Dalits who became all Buddhists, because then there is no distinction in Buddhism. There is no deities or anything in Buddhism. And enormous number of people, some millions, changed from Dalit caste into being Buddhist. And that's the only way they could bring about the change. If you do manage somehow, you are ostracized and left outside and disowned. In the first century, this was particularly so. Only a rabbi, you could only be a rabbi who were born in the rabbi family. And gender too, of course, was a factor, as still is. The Pharisees and scribes, the professional people of the Jewish faith, and they were so by divine right of birth, like the royalty. And it had to be on both parents' sides. Matthew, therefore, gives the genealogy of Jesus as he was writing for the Jewish readers of St. Matthew's Gospel. He starts from David to Jesus. And he gives us three generations of Jesus, to Abraham, to David, and to exile in the land. From David to Jesus, the 42 generations. And it was so important for Matthew to be writing an ascension, because priesthood was by divine law. Our Lord's ministry questions this. I did not come to invite or call virtuous people, but sinners. He challenges that. He questions it. And how dare he question it? What's the problem with the rabbi? So he called the 12. According to their ability, and that partnerships support our Lord needed. Remember, he was the Son of God, but he was human. He still needed the support of fellow human beings. God cannot work without you and I, let's face it. He'll be without a job if you are not around. He needs us as much as we need him. We are his instruments. We are his tools. We are his eyes, ears, and all that. And he called our Lord, therefore needed. That shows his humanity. That he was the Son of God. He was not taking it all on his own and say, I'll sort this Lord out. He didn't say that. I need support and companionship. So I will give you four words, all starting with letter C. There's the call. There's a change, there's a costliness, and there's a cross. The call of our Lord, the change that came about in Matthew, the costliness to him of his livelihood and all that, and the cross of Christ, of martyrdom. Think back, my brothers and sisters, the call of the four fishermen, Simon and Andrew, and then James and John. They were fishermen. And this fellow comes around, called Jesus, and said, follow me. And what happened? They left their nets and followed. What would Mr. Zebedee must have felt when he lost two pairs of hands who were his right and left hand? Zebedee and sons wrote, it is our sons. 5 seconds left. Our Lord preached his whole workforce. Just like that. And we read it so glibly. Just imagine the loss to Zebedee, losing his two sons. Think about it. Think about it. Who do you think you are? He must have said to Jesus, at least thought about it. call of Abraham, Moses, David, Elijah, to name a few of the four Testament, cost you every time. Moses became a wanderer instead of being had a royal home to live in. And poor fellow, I really feel sorry for Moses. For 40 rounds of wandering around with a rebellious prophet who wanted to go along with him every time. As soon as he turned his back, the gap up to mischief. Every time. He had a hard time, and then when the time came to enter the promise, they said, Yahweh said, you're not getting there yet. The doors are locked for you. No way. It was very unfair treatment of Moses by God. He led them for 40 long years. And then what he said? No reward. Out. You're not entering. Matthew the tax collector. Call of Thomas. We have a tradition in India that Thomas went to India and was martyred there in South India. And I have visited the tomb of Thomas in Chennai. He was an architect and was then later martyred. A long journey in those days across the sea. Paul, the tent maker, great Pharisee, enjoying the life of the church and everything else, all of a sudden, all finished. On the road to Damascus. And these were all divine initiations, remember that. Those people didn't seek to do what they were asked to do. They were called. They were picked out. Willingly, so to speak. It was divine initiation every time. God is the instrument. I served a very distinguished bishop, Bishop Hugh Montefiore. He was a Jewish convert. One of the most, the richest bishop in the Church of England. A distinct scholar, he taught me, so happened, then became my bishop. And he had a call when he was at a school in Rugby. And he followed, answered that call, and left the Jewish faith, became a Christian, and therefore was almost ostracized by his family. There's a big Montefiore estate outside Jerusalem, and St. Moses Montefiore's blue tablet is in Hyde Park. He belonged to that time. And he was totally ostracized. Costly. The call that he had was divine. He didn't ask for it. And then the change comes about, my brothers and sisters. From security of to become a people of no abode. All of a sudden you lost all your inheritance, all your company, all the people who were supporting you in your society and all that. A friend of mine, who was a Sikh, became a Christian at university and became a Christian. And when he was being baptized, they said, you know, Sikhs have long hair then. They said, you have to cut hair, your hair. He said, show me in the Bible where it says you're going to cut your hair. You'll be baptized. So he was baptized with long hair. He's a Methodist minister. Inderjit Bogle, you might have heard his name. He became the president of the Methodist Union at one time. But his family children cut him off. Completely. His father died while I was talking to him. Yes. The change, the costliness of it all. Peter was a married man. I wonder what his wife thought of it all. Think about it. Our Lord is his mother-in-law, but what happened to the wife? When the fisherman walked out, she was a single mama. Matthew had a lucrative money spin on job. All of a sudden, all gone. Thomas in the building gate. How did the family feel? Cope and accept the change that comes about. And as I've already mentioned, the costliness. They became leaders of rebellious crowd. Moses, as I mentioned, and they're not allowed to enter the promised land. It's not fair. Elijah, being not trusted by those around him. Wanderers with an itinerant preacher, they became. No purse, our Lord says, don't carry any purse, don't carry extra clothing. Depends on the hospitality of strangers when you enter and stuff. I once met a sadhu who used to come to my home church in Delhi, and he used to come once a year, and he would just sit outside the church, Holy Trinity Church in Turkman Gate, and was there for about a month, and people fed him and clothed him and all that. He was like a Sadhu Sundar Singh, a wanderer. He went around village to village preaching the gospel. He became wanderers with our Lord, the hospitality of strangers. And then, after the Pentecost, the persecution that came their way, thrown out of synagogue, they traveled in dangerous conditions, shipwreck, and all that happened to Paul. Such discomfort, dragged out and beaten, put into prison, and finally even killed martyrdom. Peter, Paul, Thomas, James, and so forth. That's the costliness of the call to which you said yes. And finally, of course, the cross. Our Lord sets the pattern for each and every one of them and for us. The mold that he gave us. Remember his own call at the time of his baptism, from carpentry to be a preacher. The change and the costliness of it all. To live the will of the Father, to be obedient to that. Do we see this pattern in our lives, my brothers and sisters? Because this has been the pattern of life of people, of Christians who have followed the precepts of love, our Lord, for 2,000 years. In our lifetime, there have been martyrs of India, of Polynesia, Papua and New Guinea, to name a few. And here at home in the Western world, the Namin womb of Uganda, who was killed by Idi Amin. He went with his bishops to see him, and then after the meeting was over, he stayed behind, and nobody ever saw him. We now legendary remember him. Oscar Romero of Latin America, murdered in his cathedral. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I've just been reading his life, a copy in the church house, who willingly came back from England to Germany, and 2 weeks before the liberation was hanged naked. Sorry, they are all clergy, but they have been other martyrs also of the church in our century. I can think of other people like Gandhi, Mother Teresa of Calcutta, Martin Luther King Jr., and Mandela, to name a few of our time. All were called, all did a job, and all paid the cost of it all. You and I, my brothers and sisters, are also called. We may not think so, but that is the truth of the matter. That is the gospel. We are all called. Nobody, there are no exceptions. And we need to listen to that call, the voice of God, to discern and then to obey. And let us not forget, call does not come cheap, it is costly. I did not come to invite virtuous people, but sinners like you and I. God bless you.